Good morning and welcome to another Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Bill! Welcome back.
Thank you.
So nice to have you back. And boy, if you're listening to this show right now, you're really missing out on some fantastic pictures Bill took from his African safari. So it's too bad we don't have a webcam we could share
with our listeners. That'd be nice. Right. It was a wonderful trip. Sure enjoyed it. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of gardening activities happening here in the region, and I'm sure they're going to be picking up here really soon with fall just around the corner. But the farmers markets are still underway. The farmers market at Artovino's, and Denise, earlier you had a workshop this morning talking about vegetable gardening?
Actually, on plant propagation. Great time to start your fall vegetables and ornamental plants as well. And we had a great turnout with so many people interested in starting their own plants by seed, and it's very easy to do. And it's a lot of fun, and it's a great challenge. I think you would agree with that.
Oh,
and there's still, I think, just about a month left of the farmer's market, so plenty of time for people to get involved. And you're talking about seeds and propagation. There's going to be a seed share event happening at the Mountain View Market next month. It's October the 23rd. Mountain View Market's located at 1300 El Paseo Road in Las Cruces. And if you don't know anything about seed propagation, if you didn't get a chance to attend Denise's workshop this morning, well, you can attend this and learn how you can save seeds. You can learn how to select them, how to harvest, and you can also, if you already are sort of an experienced gardener, take some of your harvest to show off during a veggie show and tell. That's on October 23rd again at the Mountain View Market in Las Cruces. Information's on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And Denise, you are telling me about this special event that's happening next Friday, the 28th, at Escada at the Park.
Yes, the AgriLife Extension El Paso County office. We're actually hosting our open house at our youth community garden at Escalate Park. That's going to be Friday morning from 9 to noon. And we're really going to showcase what we've done with the youth community garden. We have a whole bunch of vegetable demonstration raised beds that we are transitioning into the fall crops right now. So you'll see some of our summer crops that are petering off. We know our harvests are not that bountiful right now, but we do have a lot of our fall veggies coming into play. We also have a section on container gardening as well. So it's a good program for maybe school gardening folks that want to look to see a fully functioning container garden in action. We have a lot of herbs planted in there as well, and we'll have a rainwater harvesting demonstration. So we have lots of fun things, a lot of different components that go into gardening. It's just not the soil and just the plants. There's just a lot of other stations that we have that we've kind of built into this garden, and we really are looking at this as a resource center for folks that are interested in anything that has to do with vegetable gardening.
Yeah, it sounds like a really great model for schools and, you know, school districts to want to adopt, because I think this seems to be the trend now, getting more youth involved in planting and having the schools involved. If they could attend something like this and adopt something like that, I think for their schools would be fantastic.
Right. And a lot of times, a lot of teachers are really excited about school gardening. However, the campus administrators really need to sign off on any type of this kind of projects. And I think it's important for them to be able to come down to Escalate Park and see what is involved in that, all of those inputs that it takes to really get this garden going, and then take that back to their campuses and then let, you know, inform their principals on that. And then, of course, Extension and the Master Gardeners are here as a resource, as advisors, if you will, on really giving them the best management practices.
So seeing as it's a youth community garden, have there already been a number of youth who've been working in the garden?
Yes, we actually do have a lot of youth coming into our garden. The peak was during the summer months. However, the raised beds are not allocated to one particular group per se. The children are helpers in the garden, and they really get involved in all of the planting, all the way down to the harvesting of the plants as well. The leaders out there are the master gardeners. They plan the harvest, and they plan all the planting and everything that needs to go along with that.
So again, it's a youth community garden open house taking place next Friday, the 28th, 9 to noon at Escalate Park. There will be refreshments in case it's kind of a warm day. That's going to be really nice. And I've got information on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. You can also call the radio station if you'd like more information. And Bill, you've had some experience in some community gardens here around town, right?
Well, minimally, I've been involved, but they're hard to get going, to be honest. If you don't have good access, you don't have water, you don't have the cooperation of everybody involved, you need the manpower, all these kind of things. They're really hard. But this is a great example of what can be done. So I recommend, you know, particularly school teachers, anybody that's interesting in a school garden, come see what can be done. And then, you know, we probably sign a master gardener or two and then help you get started at each one of the individual schools. And the kids are so fun when they see what can be done from planting to growing and harvesting.
Right.
And that's a really good way to get kids to eat their vegetables, right?
Oh,
if they
yes.
eat what they grow, it's kind of added that much more excitement.
I've never had children screech in delight that they could take home radishes.
Right. And really, when you're growing your own, they taste better. So, again, that entices them to get more involved.
Right, exactly. And I've had a lot of calls on folks that wanted to start their own community gardens. And I always say the first thing you need to do is secure the land.
Right.
And you need to have a permanent water source.
Right.
If you have an empty lot, it's not going to work if your neighbor throws over a garden hose for you. You need something permanent.
Right.
There's just no way you're going to grow any type of vegetables or even ornamental plants without any supplemental water.
Right.
I mean, what kind of lot would you be looking at? I mean, if you were going to grow a community garden, I mean, what piece – are you going to have to buy a piece of land from the city or from a property owner?
That would be an agreement that you would make. First of all, you define who the owner is, mm-hmm. if it's an abandoned lot, and then have an agreement and said – the owner's going to provide X, Y, and Z, and the community gardeners need to provide this other input as well.
But a lot of times in other cities, they do find vacant lots in the interior portions of cities and less advantaged areas because there's a lot of maybe houses that have been torn down. But it does take coordination between a number of different people, and I completely agree with that those are the basic needs that you have to have. You have to have everybody's approval, and then you have to have permanent water. And then maybe around here, it's not even good dirt. Maybe you want to bring in some decent dirt, build up some beds.
Correct.
I think raised beds is a very good way to do it.
I think it's very good in El Paso as well. But yes, it gives me a lot of professional and even personal pride to see gardens up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I want people to garden, but the worst thing for me to see are blighted or abandoned gardens.
Right.
So I really encourage folks to be conservative and take those steps as needed so that I really want them to be successful. So I think that you need to follow a plan. You know, it's great to have the passion, but you really need to put in a lot of thought and a lot of energy and time.
And you hear a lot about these, you know, success stories and some of these neighborhoods that are considered very poor. I mean, I read about, you know, neighborhoods in the Bronx or in East LA, and, you know, they're communities that live in basically concrete structures where there's really nowhere you can actively garden, but they've managed to somehow, I'm assuming through raised beds or in old abandoned alleys, perhaps.
Rooftop gardens.
Rooftops, that's right.
Very popular.
Yeah, they put together their community gardens, and they're so proud of it, and they realize that they never met their neighbors before, probably, and they find just a much stronger sense of community in doing something like that.
Particularly when people are living in multi-level buildings, they just don't have any place to grow things, and this gives them a good option.
Perhaps this is a good time for you to start planning a winter garden.
I think it is a good time. Planning is also a very important part of any garden. Here we are, we're almost the end of September. It's about time to plant broccoli and spinach and lettuce and things like that. They'd be up before December.
Right.
You could harvest.
And I think, well, we have a really good fall season in El Paso. Our temperatures are quite stable. Unlike the springtime, where we have such a short window to plant before it gets extremely hot.
Right.
Our window of time for planting, for harvesting, is really good for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And also, a lot of fall vegetables are easily propagated by seed.
Right.
So you can certainly start a lot of your leafy greens directly by throwing them in the ground.
Exactly. Chard is easy. Broccoli, spinach, cauliflower, all those are real easy plants for the winter. The only problems I've ever had is there are some winter aphids. There's not much else available, so they do show up on the broccoli and other things. So you just need to be aware of those things. But otherwise, it's a great time of the year to grow. It's certainly more comfortable to be outside.
And then with our winters being as relatively mild as they are, of course, I'm speaking soon before, you know, we have a minus 3 degrees winter day that'll kill everything. But our winters are normally pretty mild.
Normally. So. And you can put a light cover over them on those nights that it's going to get down a little bit below freezing, and you can deal with that.
And the plants will stay up. They may slow down as the colder temperatures come into play, but I mean they'll still be pretty cold hardy.
They will produce. Mm-hmm. They will produce. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we still have a little bit of time left in this show. We want to talk about a problem that people are still coming up against with their trees, and there's just so much tree damage that's starting to surface. It probably started with the freeze from a year and a half ago, and it just will not stop. And I guess with some of that tree damage that happened with the freeze, since trees that are showing damage, they have weakened systems to fight off an infection, kind of like how humans are when we get sick. And so they're starting to see sort of pest invasions as well.
Right. Even before the freeze hit, a lot of the plants, a lot of the trees were water stressed. They didn't have enough water or they didn't have regular fertilizer applications. So that made them very vulnerable to this freeze. Then the freeze came and it went. It damaged the tissues, the insides of the trees, but the overall effects are what we're seeing now are these secondary effects, these invasion of these pests, these wood-boring insects that are making these stressed-out trees their homes, and then as a result, we're seeing a lot of damaged limbs, especially in our pine trees.
Right, right. It's just amazing how much damage we've seen just really in the last 2 or 3 months. That after the heat of the season, they've still shown the stress, and just more and more pine trees are dying. I see them all over the west side of town. I'm sure it's all over town.
And you were talking before the show, Bill, about this one person who had over 100 pine trees in their yard.
Right.
And, well, I wouldn't call it a yard, I guess, in their
property.
Mm-hmm. And all of them are showing signs of damage.
Well, he was commenting that they're showing major stress. So he was calling, looking for some guidance. And again, the first thing to determine is what's causing it. If it's nothing apparent, like it's like the process Denise just identified, it's a process that maybe started 2 years ago. Lack of water, then the freeze, then it attracts insects because it's a damaged tree. So it's unfortunately, it's a very slippery slope that these trees may not make it.
And the news for a lot of these trees is pretty dire, isn't it? Because once that tree starts showing that massive type of damage where you get like a third of it that's dead, I don't think excess water is going to do any good.
Right. And it depends if it's just an insect itself or is it a secondary, say if it's an insect carrying a disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very serious problem.
So if you have any problems with your trees, it's a really great idea to if you have a digital camera to take a picture of it and to email some of those pictures to the master gardeners, because that way they can it's a lot easier for them to help diagnose your problem. Or if you can, go out there and write down everything that you see or find somebody with a digital camera so you can communicate the problem. And we're actually out of time for the show, but if you have any plant problems, you can call the master gardener hotline at 566-1276. 566-1276. And we have an email link to the Master Gardeners on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. That's where you can also listen to some of our past shows and get information on some of the community events that we were talking about earlier in the show. We want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.